Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we come before you. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have given us. We know that every good gift is from you and that there is nothing we can gain on our own. We pray that the message now will be from your spirit as we believe it is, and will it convict and admonish and show the blessings when we obey, when we do your will, when we walk according to your ways. Father, there's nothing we can do to show our gratitude, our thankfulness for all that you have done. But we do love you, Father, and we thank you abundantly. And we give you all praise, all acknowledgement, and we give you all honor, knowing that all things, again, are from you. And we now dedicate this service once more to you and pray that you may be with us as you have promised within your word. And we ask all this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. I'd like to thank everybody for being here and certainly a blessing seeing those here and also knowing that there are many online. Every week we see an increase with those on the internet watching, joining us online, and it's a blessing to know that this truth is not only reaching here, those who are coming to worship and be with us, but also those online watching and learning and coming to a deeper truth. So all those here and all those online, I'd like to welcome you here. It's a blessing to have you. With this Sabbath, we're going to speak on a topic that is important. It's on the blessings of tithing. Now, I know some view tithing as negative and to some even oppressive, but I see tithing as an opportunity not only to obey our Father in heaven, but also to receive his blessings as he promises within his word. You see, people look at tithing as something negative. Again, I look at tithing as a blessing, something we can do to show Yahweh the blessings that he has given us, because certainly we are very blessed as a people. What's sad is that so few actually tithe and support Yahweh's work. You know, which is vitally important in these latter days. Such a blessing being on TV and being able to reach so many people. We have people calling each week saying, you know, I believe this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And only now do I understand there are others like you, like me. It is such a blessing to see that. I spoke with a lady yesterday on the phone. She has thrown out the pork bacon, and she is now researching oneness and in the true understanding of the relationship with the Father and Son. Again, such a wonderful blessing. But, you know, through these efforts, it requires support. And that's why we have tithing. According to the Barna Group, a leading research and organization focused on faith and culture, tithing has dropped in the last decade. Or here's what it says. Not surprisingly, some population groups were more likely than others to have given away at least 10% of their income. Among the most generous segments were evangelicals at 24% whom tithed. I thought that was quite an impressive percent, considering. Conservatives, 12%. People who had prayed, read the Bible, and attended a church service during the past week, 12%. Charismatic or Pentecostal Christians, 11%. And registered Republicans, or figure that out, 10%. Several groups also stood out as highly unlikely to tithe. And again, probably no secret to anybody here. People under the age of 25, atheists and agnostics. Single adults who have never been married. You know, marriage changes your perspective, and we find that here. Liberals, no surprise, and damsel adults, 1% or less of the people in each of these segments tithed in 2007. The percentage of adults who tithe has stayed constant since the turn of the decade. Listen to this, though. Falling in the 5% to 7% range. So according to this report, fewer people today are tithing. Why? Why is this? Why do you suppose we've seen a drop in support based on what we find in Yahweh's word? Well, as a nation, we are becoming more secular. And people, as a result, are losing that devotion, that faith, that concern, that dedication that they once had. Many years ago, the vast majority attended a so-called church. They were concerned about salvation and concerned about supporting that place of worship. This concept, though, is quickly vanishing and being diminished in this nation. People no longer are concerned as they were many years ago Again, as this nation becomes more secular, we see this dropping. Well, you know, for those of us in the Messiah, I don't have good news today. We in some ways rank no better, and in some ways we rank much worse. Now, I know that tithing is a sacrifice. Giving 10% of one's income is not easy. I know that. I understand that. You know, even many believers who I know love and are very devoted to Almighty Yahweh, they struggle with this. Well, I hope that when we're done with this message, if not already, you will consider giving what rightfully belongs to Almighty Yahweh, our Father in heaven. Even though this ministry greatly benefits from the few, an emphasis on the few, who are faithful in this way, I believe that the greater blessing is not with the ministry. I believe that the greater blessing is with us. It's us as believers. We are the ones who benefit when we are faithful to our Father in heaven. Well, in this message, we're going to focus on 5 points. Those points are, number one, the second and third tithe. Last year, I gave a message on tithing. I did not focus on this. We're going to briefly review the second and third tithe and what that requires and why our Father in heaven gave these commands. The next one here, number two, the command of the first tithe. This is a tithe that is holy to Almighty Yahweh, as we will find within the Word. Third is examples of tithing. What do we find? How were they doing this? How did they observe this command? How and what way and what support was it used for? The purpose of tithing, number four. And number five, last, certainly not least, penalties and blessings of tithing. So let's begin with the second tithe. We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 14, along with the third tithe, by the way. Verse 22, we find a discussion beginning with the second tithe. 22, and we're going to read verses 24 through 26 as well. It says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yahweh Elohim will choose to set his name there, when Yahweh Elohim hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand. And shall go unto the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatever soever thy soul lusts after." So we find here the second tithe. Now, I want to emphasize two specific things about this tithe. Number one, as we find here, this tithe is not holy or sacred to our Father. Matter of fact, it specifically says here that the offerer could purchase whatever his or her heart desired, as long as, of course, as it was ethical and moral. Number two, this tithe had a very special and specific purpose. The reason for this tithe was to ensure adequate funding for the feast. As we find in verse 24, if the place was too far for them to travel, they could then sell this tithe for money, and they could go and worship Almighty Yahweh according to his command. Now, many ask today, is this tithe still required? Is it still something we should be doing now? Well, you know, based on the fact that every year we hear from people that want to keep the feast, they say, you know, I just can't afford it this year. Based on that fact alone, I believe that this is essential. Based on that fact, this is relevant. This is needed. This is still very much in force today. We should be saving and making sure that we have adequate funding to worship Yahweh on his appointed days as he has defined within his word. This was again provided for this reason. It was a way to ensure that the Israelites had adequate funding for the feast. Now, what about the third tithe? We find that in verse 28. Verse 28 through 29 says, "At the end of the third 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates in the Levites, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee." We're going to talk more about that as we go on today, the Levites and the relationship there that they had with Yahweh. "And the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. The third tithe is completely different from the first and second. Number one, it is not holy. I guess that is similar to the second tithe. But we find here, though, that the third tithe was required every 3 years. And number two, it had a very specific purpose. It was to be used for the Levite and the poor. Now, who's the poor? Word defines a poor as a stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, this is a common theme we find through Scripture. You know, Yahweh, in essence, this was his social net. It was his method for financing, if you will, the needs of the poor, the needs of the destitute, those who were in need. Now, as we find with the second tithe, many people ask, is this required today? Well, the answer is yes. But this ministry, we stand on the principle that this is probably being fulfilled through what we are paying through taxes today. The government is providing for the poor and for the destitute. Now, does this, though, position mean that we're not to help the needy, to help the poor? Well, you know, Yahweh in his word is very sympathetic to the poor. We find this all throughout the Torah. We find this in the New Testament. Yahweh is concerned about the poor. He's concerned about those in need. And you know what? As Yahweh's people, we too should be concerned about the needy. We too should be concerned about the poor. So this does not excuse, this does not justify, this does not remove our obligations to help when we see someone in need. We're to help. If we have the means to help, we're to do so. You know, James in the New Testament, Yahshua's brother, defines pure religion as helping those who are in need and helping those who are destitute. Specifically, again, he mentions the fatherless, he mentions the widow, and he mentions the afflicted. So again, this third tithe was a way to provide for this need in the time of the Old Testament. Or today, we provide through this need, but we do it through our taxes and also through our personal charities, which, again, we should all strive to help those in need. Well, let's now look at the first tithe. This is the tithe we're going to focus on for the remainder of this message. First tithe is found in Leviticus 27, verse 30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy unto Yahweh. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy," listen, "shall be holy unto Yahweh." So what do we find within this passage? Or number one, it says the first tithe is holy to Yahweh. This word holy comes from the Hebrew Kodesh. It refers to something sacred. It refers to something set apart for a special cause and a special purpose. Understand that because the first tithe is holy, it belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. You know, the way I also see this is Yahweh's given us everything we have anyway. We're just simply, Yahweh, though, he's allowing us to keep 90% of it. So I guess it depends on your perspective, but 10% we find here is holy to him, meaning that we don't have discretion over its use. It goes to the work. It goes to him. In other words, we're not to hold back or neglect what belongs to him. Matter of fact, notice here that if we neglected this, if we took away, if we redeemed it, Yahweh commanded that a fifth part be added to that portion. It is not something that we can remove, that we can tamper with, based on his word. Now, the word tithe is commanded, or in the Hebrew, is literally, it commands a tenth, or means a tenth. So within the Hebrew language, we find Yahweh defining the exact portion that this tithe equates to. And again, that is a tenth. 10% is what we find within Yahweh's word. Well, let me ask, is this command any less important than the other commands we find within Scripture? Maybe is it less important than the Sabbath, or maybe loving our neighbor? Well, I know that there are some people who like to believe that this is more of a recommendation than a command, but, you know, as much as we want to believe that, believe me when I say that this carries the same weight and the same responsibility and the same obligation as any other command we find within our Father's word. Those who break this command by holding back Yahweh's portion, I believe they do so to their own detriment. When we do this, we're in violation of Yahweh's word. In other words, we're in a state of sin. Listen, I know that giving again 10% of our income is not easy. But this is not a command from us. This is not a command from us. And we are not condemning a single soul right now preaching this message. But this is a command from our Father in heaven. This is something he wants from us. It is Yahweh who we dishonor when we forfeit or disregard this obligation. Let's now look at some examples of tithing. Again, how was this kept in the Old Testament? How was it observed in the Old Testament by Yahweh's people? Well, the first example traces back some 1,900 years before the Messiah and 500 years before the giving of the law at Sinai. That's right, 500 years before the Levitical priesthood. Notice this is such an important example. I believe that this is one of the most important examples we find within the Word. Genesis 14, verse 18. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High El. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High El, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High El, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he," referring to Abraham, "gave him tithes of all." Now, there are several things we want to consider here. Number one, we find that there was an established priesthood during the time of Abraham. Keep in mind, again, that this was 500 years before the Levitical priesthood. From the book of Hebrews, we find that this priesthood was the Melchizedek priesthood. By the way, this is the same priesthood that Yahshua, our Savior, is part of today. Now, who was this Melchizedek? Who was this figure? Well, you know, Scripture is vague as to who or even what this man was. All we know is that he was king of Salem, and he was priest of Yahweh Most High. That's it. That's all we know about this man. We also know, though, that he received tithes from Abraham. So again, I want to emphasize that we find an established priesthood 500 years before the Levites. And we also see here that part of that priesthood included tithing. Included tithing. It says that Abram gave a tenth of all. Let me ask, all of what? All of what? What did Abraham give to Melchizedek? Well, Abraham just returned from being victorious in battle. He was victorious because of Yahweh's blessings, and he had with him spoils from war. It was this that he tithed to Melchizedek. Well, this example is important for two reasons. Number one, as we've heard, we find that tithing was practiced prior to the Levitical priesthood, which I believe is paramount to understand. And number two, we find that tithing encompassed more than produce and livestock. Here we find the spoils of war. And certainly he had more than produce and livestock coming back from being victorious in battle. Now I've heard some people make the claim that this passage isn't referring to a tithe, but to an offering. Now before we look at that, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between a tithe and an offering? This is important that we understand this. A tithe is a command. It is holy to Yahweh. It is his portion. It is 10%. An offering is something that we freely provide based on Yahweh's blessings and our own conscience. And there is no set amount. Do we have evidence to verify which one this passage is referring to? Well, we sure do. We sure do. We find the answer in Hebrews 7, verse 4. It says, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." Verse 5, "And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. We find a connection, a parallel, between the tithe that Abraham gave to Melchizedek and the tithe that Israel gave to the Levites. In other words, what Abraham gave to Melchizedek was no different from what Israel gave to the Levitical priests. So the belief that Abraham only gave an offering simply does not hold up to the scrutiny of Scripture. Scripture interprets and defines what Abraham did. Scripture says that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, did not give an offering. He tithed to Melchizedek based on the command from his father in heaven. Now, Abraham was not the only man, though, that tithed prior to Sinai. We find one more example in Scripture, and this example is important for its own reasons. The example is found in Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 20, this passage is now looking at Jacob. It says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I and will give me bread to eat and raiment or clothing to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahweh be my Elohim. Listen to that. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Elohim's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely... Listen, I will surely give the tenth or the tithe unto thee. Well, this is an important passage for more than one reason. Let me give you some background as to what we find here. You know, right before this, Jacob, he saw a vision or a dream. And within that dream, he saw angels descending and ascending up into heaven. Now, prior to the stream, Scripture indicates that Jacob, that this man was not fully converted to his Father in heaven. It wasn't until the dream that Jacob finally committed himself to serving Yahweh when he said that he would serve the Elohim of his fathers. This can be seen from the nature of the vow that he made in this passage in verse 22. He says again, then shall Yahweh be my Elohim, as if he was not already. He shall be my Elohim. You see, he is now devoting himself to his Father in heaven. This was a turning point in the life of Jacob. He is now fully and completely giving himself to Yahweh. Now, part of this vow, what did he pledge here to do? In verse 22, he promises. He says, if you be with me, he says, if you provide for my food, if you provide for my clothing, I am going to give you a tenth or a tithe of all. So we find here a second example of tithing prior to the Levitical priesthood, hundreds of years before Moses and the Levites. We also find something else here. And that is that tithing is a sign of conversion. It was not a coincidence that Jacob promised to tithe when he fully committed himself to Almighty Yahweh. At this point, like his grandfather, and I'm sure his father before him, who taught him the principle of tithing. You see, tithing is something we teach to our children. It's something we teach as adults to our children. But as they, Jacob here, he was fully committing and following this command. So as we see here, tithing is an indicator of a person's faith and devotion. In other words, those who fully want to devote themselves to Yahweh should tithe based on Yahweh's command. Now you've all heard me say in the past, Yahweh does nothing without reason. He does nothing without purpose. I believe everything Yahweh's given within his word has a reason and has a point, or tithing was no different. Tithing has a reason. Tithing has relevance. It had relevance back then, and it has relevance today. We're going to see that. The purpose, the point, the reason why our Father in heaven gave this important command. We find the purpose in Numbers 18, verse 24. It says, "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering," heave meaning they heaved it up, according to most scholars, the wave, they waved it back and forth, left to right, "as a heave offering unto Yahweh, have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." It says here that the tithe belonged to the Levites. Why? Because they had no inheritance. Why? Because Scripture says that they belonged to Yahweh. They belonged to Almighty Yahweh. You see, they were responsible to fulfill the worship that Yahweh established in the Old Testament. We also know that they, like Ezra, would read and preach Yahweh's word as we do today. Now again, what was the purpose of the tithe? Why did Yahweh command this 10%? It was to provide for their physical needs, the needs of those who did the work of Almighty Yahweh. You see, they could not work outside and still sufficiently, adequately support Yahweh's worship. So for that reason and purpose, Yahweh says that you shall give 10%. They are doing my will. They are doing my work. They belong to me. They are my possession. This is their portion, not yours. You know, we find another example of this in 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4 says, "Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of Yahweh." I imagine at this point they were somewhat depressed, because they were not being supported from indication. Verse 5, "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated unto Yahweh, their Elohim, and laid them by heaps or piles. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princesses came and saw the heaps, they blessed Yahweh and his people Israel." This was something very special that they did. Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings here, he saw that the tithe was not being produced. So he commanded that the people bring the portions that, again, rightfully belonged to the priests back. And we see that they did exactly this. We see here that in the end of the seventh month that the people had brought such a great heap, such a great portion, such abundance, that Hezekiah and the leaders of Judah praised Yahweh and praised the people for obeying their Father in heaven. Where this portion, again, was to provide for the needs of the Levites, for the priests, for those doing the work of Almighty Yahweh. This was again the intent and purpose of the tithe. Now, why is this important to understand? Why is it important that we comprehend the purpose of the tithe? Well, it's important because the tithe has a very special and specific purpose. And that, again, is to support the work of Almighty Yahweh, to do His will. You know, some believe that we can give our tithes to charities, such as feeding the poor. Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with giving to charities, and I would encourage everybody to give. The tithe is not for charities. The tithe is for, again, those who minister within the Word. That's what we find here. Now, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10, we find one more example of the people of Judah neglecting this command. And we find Nehemiah trying to remedy the problem. It says in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10, "And I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field." They left, and they abandoned, it says, Yahweh's house. "When contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." We find here that Nehemiah was not real happy with the people. Why? Well, they were not providing the portions, the tithe, that belonged to the priests. It says here that the Levites, they were going back to their own fields. Why? Or you see, Judah was again not providing. They were not giving the portions that belonged to the priests. They had no choice but to go back and make a living. Or what happened when they did this? We find that Yahweh's house was forsaken. They forsook Yahweh's house because the people were not providing what was holy to Yahweh and what sustained his worship. Over the years, I've noticed in the ministry that only a very small minority supports the majority. You know what many don't understand is nothing is free for ministry, nothing. For example, last year we spent $14,000 in postage, $12,000 in printing and publishing fees with our printer, $35,000 in utilities, and $3,000 for our live stream, which provides for this broadcast over the internet. And that's just to name a few of the expenses we have at this ministry. Now, of those who benefit from these items, only a very small fraction ever support, and even less, tithe. You know, even though I'm a strong advocate of freely giving, again, the reality is there is nothing for free. There is nothing we do for free. It takes the support and help from all of you. And it's such a blessing to see those who support this ministry. It gives us encouragement to know that there are those who are supporting this ministry with their tithes, as Yahweh commands within his word. If Yahweh's people today would hear the call of Nehemiah, there's no telling what we could accomplish. There is no telling. Because again, only a very small minority actually supports and tithes and does what Yahweh says to do within his word. You know, consider supporting and being part of this ministry. I encourage those here and encourage those online. Become part of this ministry by supporting it. In doing, more importantly, doing what Yahweh says to do. And more importantly, then reaping the blessings of Yahweh's word. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, he explains the purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament or New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth Elohim take care for oxen?" Basically, what he's saying is this only for oxen, or is there a deeper meaning behind what we find in the Torah? Verse 10, "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes?" For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. He says, this was written for our benefit, for our example, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? As we see here, the command of not muzzling the ox when it treaded out the corn had a greater meaning, greater purpose. And that greater meaning pointed to those today doing the work. He said that it is for our benefit. He explains this in verse 11. When he speaks about sowing spiritual things, he's referring to those who benefit from the word, benefit from this message, benefit from this ministry. When he speaks about those reaping carnal things, he's referring to the tithes, the offerings, the support from those who are benefiting to those who are doing the work. What Paul is saying is simply this: those who minister in the word should be supported by that word. That is the message we find here. How do you suppose this happens? How do you suppose this happens? Well, this mainly happens through the provision of the tithe. As I said, everything Yahweh does has a purpose. Everything Yahweh is given has a reason. The tithe in the Old Testament was to support those who ministered within the word. The tithe in the New Testament is to support those who minister within the word. It's amazing how it harmonizes like that. It's amazing how Yahweh has given us an instrument and a mechanism to support those who do his work. All we need to do is comply. Some will say that the tithe, though, was only for those in the Old Testament, and that we should rely only on offerings today. Or, you know, those who advocate this position, I found that they neither give tithes nor offerings. Yahweh commands that we sacrifice for him. We must sacrifice and give what is holy unto our Father in heaven. Yahweh gave a way to provide for those who ministered in the Old Testament. Doesn't it make sense that he would do the same today, considering that the need is so great? The need is great. You know, again, when I'm listening to those phone calls and I'm getting inquiries and emails and talking to people on the phone, they are hungry for Yahweh's word. We got the stats from our third broadcast. Now, I imagine this is only going to grow over time, but the week of the third broadcast, according to conservative estimates, more than 53,000 people saw that program. That's a lot of people being fed with the word. And because of that, we are getting many calls, many emails, many inquiries, asking, wanting to know, wanting to change, wanting to understand how to serve Almighty Yahweh. Well, that doesn't come without a cost. The type of broadcast and support and reaching out takes effort. It takes dedication, it takes devotion, it takes support from those who love and who want to see Yahweh's truth go out to the world. Thankfully, there's people out there like that. Thankfully, there are many people who desire to see Yahweh's word go out. And it is going out. It's going out like never before. We have done more in this ministry in the last year than the last 12, I believe, combined. Yahweh's truth is going out like never before. We are reaching literally hundreds of thousands. And it is not to our glory. It is not to our praise. It is to the praise and glory of Almighty Yahweh. We are humbled. You know, I look back and I think about what we're doing. I am just literally humbled at what Yahweh has given to this ministry. But again, all of it is because of the support that the faithful, very few, the faithful that supports this work. And again, the television ministry is only one branch. We have DVDs and magazines and many other things we strive to do and to support those who are hungry for Yahweh's word. Now, what does Malachi say about tithing? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherewith or wherein have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts." What message do we find here? Yahweh accuses Israel of breaking a command. He says that you are robbing me. In what way were they robbing Yahweh? Well, they were withholding his tithes and offerings. Remember that the tithe is holy, it's Kodesh, to Yahweh. It is not within our discretion to withhold this command. I know this topic is a bit uncomfortable for some, especially when we equate not tithing to robbing Almighty Yahweh. But we're not the ones making this comparison. Please understand that we're not condemning a single soul behind this pulpit today. This is Yahweh speaking. This is Yahweh saying what we find here. It's not us. Yahweh saying, "You have robbed me." When we withhold our tithes, Yahweh equates that to theft. Now, for those who do tithe or planning to tithe, notice what we find in verse 10. He says again, "Prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it." He promises blessings to those who tithe and give to him. And just a quick side note, this is not the health, wealth, and prosperity that we hear on the TV and from evangelists today. When Yahweh says that he gives us blessings, he's promising that he's going to provide for our necessities. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the passage on blessings and curses. And in every blessing, it is the necessities that he's concerned with, not giving us a Mercedes or a large vehicle or $10,000 as proclaimed and promised by some of these ministers. That's an abomination and a lie and a myth. Yahweh says, I will bless you. I will give you necessities. I will make sure that your bills are paid for, as long as, again, we live within our means. So he says that he will bless us when we are faithful to him. But you know, the reverse is also true. I've noticed those who don't tithe, they struggle financially. I've noticed this over, it's a pattern, it's a trend. And I don't believe that it's a coincidence that those who don't tithe, again, often struggle with this. I've known people who tithe, they don't make much. But somehow they always make through. Somehow they always come out. And I believe that because it's Yahweh's blessings and promises being fulfilled within their lives. He is blessing them. He is promising. He is making sure that they will be provided for. When we withhold his tithe, again, we are taking what belongs to him. Now, some might say, well, I just can't afford to tithe. And again, I know people are struggling. I know the economy is not good. I know many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And look, we're not the ones saying give us 10% or give Yahweh 10% or do anything of that nature. Yahweh says to give 10%. Yahweh says it's holy to him. Yahweh says it's my portion. I do believe that if we step out in faith, no matter, I've been in some dire straits in my life. I won't go into the story. I think I told it last time. I won't go into it this time. But I was pretty bad off at one point, but I gave my tithe. And Yahweh saw me through. I always had food to eat. I always had a roof over my head. I always had clothes to wear. I wasn't rich. And believe me, Sabbath meals with the brethren were coveted. Those romaine noodles and beans and other items that were affordable were, they provided the sustenance. Certainly not the blessing that I had on Sabbath. So, you know, I know Yahweh can see us through. I know he can bless us. And we have to put our faith in him, knowing that he promises that he will bless us, knowing that he will provide for our needs. Do we believe in our Father enough to step out in faith? Do we believe in Yahweh enough to say, you know, I'm going to give what belongs to you, and I'm going to believe that you're going to provide for me? Do we have that? Well, you know, there's an example of a woman who had that type of faith. We find this in Luke. Luke 21, verse 1. This is the story of the poor widow. And he looked up and saw the rich man, Yahshua, speaking here, casting their gifts into the treasury. You know, they had a lot of wealth, and they gave their portion, and that's great. You know, they were giving what belonged to Almighty Yahweh. But Yahshua saw something much deeper and something much more important. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in her thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offerings of Elohim. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. We find here that this widow literally gave everything she had as a show of her faith, as a show of her devotion. You know, if this widow could do this in her extreme poverty, I know that we can hear. I know that those listening to this message, they can. This poor widow gave all to show her devotion, to show her dedication, to show that she loved and wanted to do what was right based on Yahweh's word. For those who follow this example, again, Yahweh does provide a blessing, the promise that he will see you through. As believers, we must be willing to fully commit. We must be willing to give all for the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. You know, Jacob, again, he made a choice. that he was going to begin serving the Elohim of his fathers. And he did so by saying, I'm going to promise you 10% of everything you give me. I'm going to promise from this point on to tithe, because no longer are you the Elohim of my father. You are the Elohim of me. You are my Elohim. You are my mighty one. I worship you. He was fully converted. And again, and he gave that tithe. He promised to support Yahweh through what is holy to him. Are we willing and able to respond to this command? Well, I pray that we are. I pray that we're, and again, we're not doing this for selfish reasons, brethren. I know for many this is not a comfortable topic, but we are doing this for your blessings. We are the ones who reap the blessings when we are faithful to our Father in heaven. So I would invite you to do what Yahweh says within his word. Give what belongs to him. It is his portion. It is Kodesh. It is holy to him. And again, if we do, he is faithful to keep his promise, and that is that he will bless us. May Yahweh bless you.